back of the table, Sudei Maya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, second canon, chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service of the Change in Heart, text 13. Shaunaka Uvacha Iti Abhidhyaritam Raja Usanya Varta Rishabha Kim Anya Vishtavan Guruya Vayasakim Nishim Kavim Shaunato Vacha Itya Vinyadikam Raja Nishamya Vartashava Himanyat Krishtavan Bhuryo Vayasakim Nishinkarim Shaunato Vacha. Shaunaka said, Iti, thus, Abhidhyatakam, all that was spoken, Raja, the king, Nishamya, by hearing, Bharata Rishabha, Maharaj prediction, him, what? Anyat, more. Vishtavan, did he inquire for him? Huya, again, Vyasakim, unto the son of Vyasadeva. Vishim, one who is well versed, coming away. Translation of the word, Shonaka said, the son of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. What did Maharaj Pariksit again inquire from him after hearing all that he had said? A pure devotee of the Lord automatically develops all godly qualities, and some of the prominent features of those qualities are as follows. He is kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, faultless, magnanimous, mild, clean, non-possessive, a well-wisher to all, satisfied, surrendered to Krishna, without hankering, simple, fixed, self-controlled, a balanced eater, sane, manly, prideless, grave, sympathetic, friendly, poetic. Expert and silent. Out of these 26 prominent features of a devotee, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, the qualification of being poetic is especially mentioned herein in relation to Shukadeva Goswami. The presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam by his recitation is the highest poetic contribution. He was a self-realized learned sage. In other words, he was a poet amongst the sages. Only again, to remind us, Yanam Javas, Chakshun Militam Yena, as you all know, the Bhagavatam is a series of dialogues within dialogues. One dialogue is nested within another. So the chapter started by Shukadeva Goswami telling Krishna Maharaj that you've inquired about me, you've inquired from me about the duty of the Manishi, the intelligent person, and I have explained. Now, you're going back to the sages at Nanasaranya. Remember, you have Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Krishna, and that conversation at Sukta Goswami in the audience. And Sukta Goswami is now explaining the same thing Shukadev said. He's explaining it to Shona Maharishi and the sages of Naimasaranya. So, Shonaka is now giving you the scene that look what we have in this situation with Prince Maharaj. You have the son of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. You have Maharaj Prajit. Obviously, they're going to be talking about Krishna. And obviously, because Shukadeva Goswami is there, this conversation or dialogue is going to go on in the most highly skilled poetic manner. In other words, you can judge the conversation and the proceedings by the quality of the persons involved. This is going to be established by Shonaka. He's asking questions to Sukta Goswami. He's stirring the ocean of nectar. Now notice that in his, while he's asking questions, he's also giving philosophical import. So he's saying that, well, Maharaj Prajit, we all know what he was like. He was a self-realized soul since birth, as evidenced by his playing with childhood dolls, which were deities. And Shukadeva Goswami, he was also an extraordinary personality, fully equipped with knowledge. And Shonaka Rishi will make reference to the family background of both persons. In Vedic culture, the family line is very important because families knew the art of how to bring into the world high-quality children generation after generation. Therefore, names are given much importance. Vyasaki, the son of Vyasadeva. That lets you know the beginning of a very high-caliber person. Pandaveya, the grandson of the Pandavas. That lets you know, once again, you're in touch with an extraordinarily high-caliber person. Now, Prabhupada explains that Shukadeva Goswami, he's an avaduta. He was wandering around unclothed, and women and children were following him, making fun of him. Yet, when he came upon the site where Maharaj Prajit was sitting amongst the sages from all over the universe, everybody immediately deferred to Shukadeva Goswami. Because despite his avaduta-like behavior, they immediately recognized by his physical characteristics that this is a rare soul. Immediately they offered him the chief seat and prepared to listen to him. Now, that's Shukadeva Goswami. Prajit Maharaj, he has just finished terminating his rule of the world. He was emperor of the world. And opulence and power that he had, who can imagine? Yet, Prabhupada says they were both on the same level. Although Prajit Maharaj was the emperor, and Shukadeva Goswami didn't even have clothes, yet they were both on the same spiritual level. For the purpose of delivering transcendental knowledge, Shukadeva Goswami took the role of the teacher, and Prajit Maharaj took the role of the student. And they fully acted according to those roles. Therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita to Sindhu, you have the verse, Shri Vishnu Shravane Prajit Abhava Vyasa Virjana. Prajit Maharaj became perfect by hearing, and Shukadeva Goswami became perfect by reciting. They are examples, two examples of the nine processes of devotional service and how to achieve perfection in each one. Let us remember this point that you can judge the events that will happen. You can judge the conversation that will happen based on the quality of the person who's involved. This is the point Shonaka is making. We know what Shukadeva Goswami is like. We know what Prajit Maharaj is like. Therefore, nothing else could have happened besides glorification of Krishna. Now, the Bhagavatam gives you negative and positive angles. So therefore, while Shukadeva Goswami is making his inquiry, while Shonaka Rishi is making his inquiry, he's giving you some insight that those who do not take an interest in the messages of Godhead, they're condemned by the rising and setting of the sun. And they must have ear holes like snakes and tongues like frogs. And in this way, he spends several verses glorifying those who chant the glories of the Lord, and he condemns those who do not chant the glories of the Lord. Krishna consciousness is always like that. It presents positive and negative. Once Prabhupada said a very heavy remark about materialistic society, and even told a devotee to go repeat it on the radio. I won't repeat it in class. And Prabhupada then explained that this is also Hari Katha, this is also chanting Hare Krishna. Devotees, he said, should hear the about the illusion of the material world. Otherwise, he said, they will become weak and fall away. He made that point by saying the most very outrageous thing about materialistic society, using very outrageous words, and said, this is also chanting Hare Krishna. But this is our line, that we are glorifying Krishna, and our tradition, coming from Srila Prabhupada, also is analyzing material nature and showing the degradation of the age of Kali side by side. You can see the same thing in the Bhagavatam. Shonaka Rishi is glorifying those who hear about Krishna and condemning those who do not hear about Krishna. And you'll find the very memorable verse. Those who praise others do not glorify Krishna. They are like dogs, hogs. These used to be our favorite verses in the old days. They've gotten a little soft as the Hare Krishna movement's gotten older, but these, in the vibrant young days, as like Kriyananda Raj says, when Prabhus were Prabhus, men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. This is our position, and we cannot give it up. Naturally, we want to present things palatably, but that doesn't mean we want to avoid the truth. Once you start avoiding the truth, then you become weak. It's very dangerous to avoid the truth because we are living in very degraded times. Easily your vision can become covered over and you start to see value in the material existence and you start to have hope for yourself. To protect the devotees from that, we have to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps and constantly present the horrors of contemporary society. It's not that we're manufacturing these horrors. They exist. And the duty of the sadhu is to present what's actually going on so that people can see and then increase their attachment for hearing about Krishna. The Bhagavatam, as we pointed out a few days ago, is teaching you how to think. It's restructuring your thinking process. It's the highest intellectual activity to come here and sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And you're hearing from Shukadeva Goswami materially, what is he? A naked 16-year-old, blue complexion, surrounded by jeering women and children. But when the women and children saw the deception of the sages, when Shukadeva Goswami entered into the place where Krishna Maharaj was sitting, the women and children really stopped their mocking. The rishis, the sages, are respecting him so much. He must be a great person. We better stop our cooking fun at him. You can judge what will happen by the persons involved and the place. Krishna Maharaj was seated at the confluence Ganges Yamuna. Sometimes it's called Ganges, sometimes Yamuna, because they come together near where he had his palace. So you know what's going to happen just by the place. That gives you an indication. Similarly, the saints in Narasaranya, later they gathered, and you can judge. It must be a spiritual purpose. Otherwise, why are they at Narasaranya? Similarly, we're gathered here before Rukmini Dwarkadesh. And everyone knows what the purpose is. We're here to glorify Krishna, discuss Krishna's glory, and that way our hearts will become transformed. Such a rare opportunity it is to sit before such extraordinarily popularly worshipped deities. Actually, the devotees should always encourage the pujari and the temple management. Tell them, deities are so wonderful. That is real appreciation based on Krishna. We should not take it for granted living with Rukmini, Gorkhanesh in their place, their community. Devotees should daily notice how the deities are dressed. You should meditate on every detail. Nectar Devotion explains that just by meditating on Krishna's flute, Krishna's clothes or Krishna's garments, these are stimulations for ecstatic love of Krishna. It's a very rare opportunity, and certainly different temples like to say that their deities are the most beautiful, but I think it's quite obvious that there's no deities in the world worshipped so popularly as Sri Rukmini Gorkhanesh. So you should express your appreciation. That's churning the ocean of nectar. Just like Sukadeva Goswami and Shona Karishi, they're always expert in churning. Let's hear more about Krishna. That was wonderful. Can you tell me more? How enlivened my heart's becoming by your messages of Godhead. Similarly, we should encourage one another in devotional service. How it is that the deities are worshipped like this, day after day. What's going on? And that way, Krishna becomes pleased upon us because we're appreciating his servants. But if we just take it for granted, then we miss out on the great benefit. And I also recommend that for second generation devotees, you should thank your spiritual master for being able to stay at a place with such properly worshipped deities. That'll be very good for you, and it'll be very good for everyone else too. Don't take it for granted for a moment. I'll give you my own personal realization, which does not indicate anything special, but it happened. Just 2 days ago, for Mangalarti, the doors opened, and so we were seeing the deities, and I couldn't figure out. I was just bewildered. Is this 7 a.m.? No, it's dark outside. It can't be greeting the deities. No, it's 7 a.m. No, it can't be. It's dark outside.
Very well, why you're asking that question?
Independent, self-sufficient.
I was just holding you for 10 minutes. It wasn't until 20 minutes of 5 that it hit me. You are bewildered by this because the night clothes of the deities are so awkward. You're thinking 7 a.m. That's honest experience. Doesn't indicate anything special, but I was just, like a computer, I was just locked up. I was just on the one hand, I saw it's dark outside. On the other hand, look at these clothes. And finally, I figured out why I was just bewildered. So this is a very special situation you have. And you're gathered here in this place. You can make spiritual advancement by meditating on the deities. And Shastra recommends you begin by the feet, just like the Bhagavatam. You're in the second canto now? The second canto and the first canto. They have a lotus feet of the Lord. And then you raise your vision to the tenth canto, which contains Krishna's intimate pastimes. You may ask, what about the Krishna book? Prabhupada explained that he's written it in a way that anybody can read it. But even with the Krishna book, Prabhupada cautioned, don't just read the part about the gopis. So, when you look at the deities, you start at the feet. And then you raise your vision upwards to the lotus face of the Lord. You may remember that Kunti Devi, she started at the waist. Why is that? She wanted to start at the feet, but because she's in the role of Krishna's aunt, she didn't want to embarrass him, so she compromised by starting at the waist rather than the feet, but she wanted to start at the feet. At the same time, she's in the role of Krishna's superior. So in this way, she started at the waist. But we should always start at the feet and raise our vision upwards. And then thank Krishna, thank Srila Prabhupada, thank our spiritual master. You've let me come before the Supreme Personality God and his worships in such an extraordinary way. I thank you from the core of my heart, and please let me take advantage of your presence every day. And then you should go and thank the Pujaris. The Pujaris are always very inspired when you let them know, you notice how the deities are dressed. You should tell the temple management too. They're always very inspired. Otherwise, why are they doing what they're doing? They're doing it to please the deities. The obvious success of the new Dwarka community is that it's carrying out very firmly the specific instructions Prabhupada gave of Los Angeles. Profuse distribution of literature and opulent deity worship. Prabhupada sitting on that, the Akhatan gave so many powerful statements about what he wanted done. And they all generally were about book production, book distribution, and opulent deity worship. So we should feel very fortunate to be at such a place which is firmly and with such determination carrying out Prabhupada's desires. That is the secret of the success. Sometimes we get mental and we want to just space out and drift off and drift away, but let us help one another to focus on what's actually happening here. Just like Shona Gurishi is focusing the sages at Nagasaranyan. Look for who the sages. I'm going to tell you about Shukadeva Goswami and Pritchard Maharaj. You know what they're going to be talking about. You know what happened. They're gathered there at the bank of the Jamuna. Such persons, you know what the conversation is about. And furthermore, let me add, anyone who does not take part in the glorification of Krishna, they have such low qualities. And those who do take part, they obviously have such high qualities. Poetic is being stressed in the purport today. Prabhupada points out that poetic, when you describe a devotee as poetic, it doesn't mean that he speaks in rhymes. It means that what he's saying is very eloquent and very attractive. But Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. If you know Sanskrit, which I don't, you'd be able to appreciate the eloquence of these Sanskrit verses. And certainly Prabhupada has presented that eloquence in his English translation. You can become just constantly intoxicated just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, just by absorbing your mind in that way. That is the actual purpose of our, as Narendra Das was saying, university here. You have the university at Nainusaranya, now you have the university at New Dwarka. And here, we let our minds become entranced by Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this way we feel increasing detachment from material nature and increasing attachment to Krishna. Judge by where we are situated. We're in front of the Dwarka Desh. That means we should be making progress. What is progress? That the heart is becoming transformed. Every devotee should be mindful of that. How is my heart being transformed? Am I feeling increased detachment from material desires? This is the proper result. And Prabhupada explains that that result will be there unless there is constant offensive chanting and unless there is a doggish desire in the heart to keep things the way they are. No, I won't change. This is the way I am. When that attitude is there in the heart, then you can be around all the hearing and chanting you want, but practically speaking, you'll make very little advancement because you have this determination of your own that I will not change. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion that for one who wants to keep things as they are in the heart, it's very difficult to become purified, even if the person is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, in the last class, we were speaking about the creeper of devotional service, as explained by Lord Chaitanya. We have to expect that there are going to be some problems. Lord Chaitanya doesn't hide from that. He says, as soon as you begin watering the devotional creeper with hearing and chanting, weeds are going to grow. So don't be astonished if there is some problem in your devotional life. Don't be astonished if some impediment appears. But the next thing is to get rid of the problem, get rid of the impediment by uprooting the weeds. So let's not become bewildered that weeds are there. Instead, let us focus our attention on uprooting the weeds, and we have to be careful gardeners. A careful gardener knows there are going to be weeds. Now, what am I going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? We need each other to deal with the weeds. as long as we hold ourselves accountable to each other and are ready to take advice from our peers, from our superiors, it's very easy to become protected against weeds. But as soon as we think, I know it all, I've been around many years, then we're in danger. Or as soon as we think, I've just been around 1 year or 2 years, but certain things I know for sure, I don't have to ask anybody, then we're in danger. We should learn how to take advantage of each other for the maximum benefit of growing the creeper and cutting down the weeds. We should learn how to think as Shukadeva Goswami is teaching. Look at the place where people are. Look who's there, and you can judge what's going on. I just heard a very humorous example from one of our members here, devotees here, and he gave me permission to repeat it. It gives you deep insight into when you know who's involved, you can understand what will happen. So, this devotee, he was thinking of pursuing higher education. Now, nothing against higher education per se, except that it brings about problems. It's not that we're making broadsides against every devotee who enters a university. After all, we've got Amarendra there, he's highly educated, he does service for Krishna, so it's not that we're... Sometimes it's said that New York is anti-intellectual and we're down on anybody who, you know, looked at college once in their life. But you all remember when Garuda came here, the reception that he got. And he was very entertaining. He told it like it was about scholars and swallows and all that kind of a thing. And everybody was enlivened. Everybody understood how he's making his service to Krishna, how he sees himself, his role. Everyone was enlivened. So, at the same time, we have to understand that Prabhupada has said certain things in his purports, and what can we do? That's what's there. Let's see, I'll find you one, and I don't know what we're going to do about it, but these things are there. It's later in this same chapter, and basically Prabhupada talks about how university education prepares you to be a god. Now, as I said before, I went to university, and I have a hard time disagreeing with Prabhupada. It's not that I'm going to say to everybody who goes to university, was of the same low consciousness as I had. At the same time, we have to point out these things as Prabhupada is saying, while keeping our minds open that it is possible to use anything in Krishna's service. Just like if I said, the airport is Maya, all the Sangatana will usually be sure the airport's Maya, but we're going there for a specific purpose. But they would feel offended if I said the airport is Maya. So if I say the university is Maya, please don't be offended. It doesn't mean it's not possible for someone to go there and do some service for Krishna. These things can happen. I know we have many future scholars out there. Maybe not. But the point is, please, let us just discuss things with an objective mind without making offenses to devotees and without hiding from very strong statements that are in our mind, in our sampradaya, and what can be done about that. So, did we? Text 19, thank you. Okay. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a dogish mentality with which to accept the service of a greater master. After finishing a so-called education, the so-called educated persons move like dogs from door to door with applications for some service, and mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, a man serves the master faithfully without sufficient rewards. That's it.
At the same time, of course, there are purposes where Prabhupada says that the intellectuals and scholars of the world should use their talents and knowledge for direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So back to our story, as told to me by one of your illustrious members. He flew over to Oxford for an interview, and naturally you have great expectations. You're going to one of the citadels of world knowledge, and naturally you have your expectations of how glorious and erudite and prestigious and aristocratic the whole experience would be. He came before the man who was interviewing Oxford University, pinnacle of European, Western civilization. He came before the man who was to screen it for admittance into the spiritual world. So, immediately, the devotee noticed the man had completely rotten teeth and was reeking of alcohol. And while the man was interrogating him, making sure he was up to standard, the man was going to the cabinet and getting more gin and drinking it. So the devotee, he told me, he began to think, wait a minute, what is this? What is that? That is the world of higher education. Then he found out, although the man was 60, he had married one of his students. That means he must have been probably, twice the age of his life. So the devotee was wondering, I don't know if I'm cut out for this kind of culture. Naturally, we should think like that, and we have to take into account things that Prabhupada said and wonder that, can I actually study 8 hours a day at the top of the library being a scholar, or maybe there's better ways that I can serve Krishna? The whole point is to get the direction from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas what to do, rather than say, this is all Maya, or I'm so great. We should hear from the older Vaishnavas, hear from our spiritual master what our real nature might actually be. Especially those who are going to be householders, those who are householders. Yes, you have to take into account earning a livelihood, and so certain things are necessary. But you still might think, here we go again, the anti-intellectualism of New York. Let me point out that on this Vyasa-san in New York, Prabhupada was describing the horrors of Western knowledge and said that he's hoping that some of us will dedicate our lives to exposing the illusion of Western knowledge, and if you do this, Krishna will bless you. So I don't know if many of you remember, but here at New Dwarka, you have residing the scholarly person who has done more to expose Western knowledge than anyone else. So you have that such a person residing right here. Just recently, I got a report from Judah Karma Prabhu how he was speaking at the Royal Academy in London, prestigious scientific place. He was speaking from the same podium as Michael Faraday and other famous scientists who made just major discoveries. Such a prestigious place, oak paneled with all these Saji traditions. First, they had him laid off stage, so to speak, and there were 400 super aristocratic people in the audience. And then they announced him, and he walked in, and they all stood up and applauded. And then he began his speech. I'm from the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which is part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I wanted to know I don't know Krishna. No, immediately he said, I'm from the National Society for Krishna Consciousness, and I'm here to show you that the version of history for human beings as we know it is suspect. And then he began to give some details. And the speech was very well received, and it was presented in the newspapers. So this is certainly the greatest scholarly and intellectual achievement done by anyone in ISKCON's history, to speak before the Royal Academy. So this is a resident of New York who is doing this. He has just achieved the greatest academic recognition. And guess what? He doesn't have a university degree. what should cause us to think about the power of bhakti. We are not speaking, of course, for university degrees or engagement. We're just talking basically about glorification of Krishna and the potency of devotional service. How Krishna can arrange amazing things simply because of our devotional surrender. So that's what we want to stress. And we can see that once again, and the management didn't pay me to give this class, but I have to point out, Prabhupada's desires are being achieved here. Prabhupada sat on the piazza and said, please expose the nonsense of Western knowledge. Please do this. Krishna will bless you. So you have at least one person here who's doing that to the degree that has never been done before. One of your residents here. And that person doesn't have a university degree. It lets you know that there's something else that's important. Whether you have a university degree or not, there's something else that's more important. And that's what we're talking about today. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the dedication of the Bhagavat, the devotee, these are the most important things. Prabhupada's devotional desires, the desires of the disciples to fulfill his desires, this is the important thing. Beyond whether you have a university degree or not, if you don't have that burning desire to fulfill the mission of the founder Acharya, then what does it matter? In any case, you may have a university degree, you may not, but you must have the desire to fulfill Prabhupada's mission. And if you have that desire, amazing things will happen regardless of your material circumstances. So I just wanted to point out these facts of reality. Because it is the nature of devotees that they don't appreciate the glories of a situation that's right near them, so familiar to them. You have such beautiful deities right here. You have powerful preaching, the most powerful intellectual preaching going on, based from here. All these things are going on. But sometimes our head spins and we just become a little woozy and we forget about these basic realities. So let us remember that and be thankful to the deities that we're trying to fulfill Prabhupada's desires, and let us try more. We can do more. And we should encourage one another. Look for examples of devotees who are fulfilling Prabhupada's desires for Nupurka and commend them. Don't think that, oh, they don't need to hear it. It's part of a devotional process to glorify devotees' service to Krishna. And it makes us personal. We are personal servants of Krishna. And the more we churn the ocean of nectar, just as the sages and Nimas Runner are doing, they're saying, Shonaka, lead the charge, enthuse Sukha Goswami to tell us more, and Pritchard Maharaj is enthusing Shukadev, thank you for answering my question, tell me more, I'm so happy to hear what you have to say. This is how devotees associate with one another. Let's do more, tell me more, that was wonderful, let's go higher. Very good. That question. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. Text 11. Etavan. Eva. Yatatam Yaha Nishreyasya Udaya Bhagavati Achala Ava Yat